Welcome to episode 156 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Okay, so another impromptu ad lib episode this week. It's becoming a bit of a habit. Good news is that the reason that I haven't had time to do anything, any preparation this week is because I've been working really hard over the last week or so on the preparation for the 2009 winter workshop in Hokkaido. So I actually have the website updated now at mbpworkshops.com, and I'm just finalizing the pricing, working with the hotels, doing the bookings and things, and it's pretty much all booked. Just got a few more hotels to get prices from, and then I'll be able to fill in the prices and I'll announce it again. But right now, if you're interested in the dates and where we'll go, go over to www.mbpworkshops.com and take a look at the website, because it's pretty much finished. And like I say, I'll let you know when it all is. Today, though, we're going to be taking a look at who won the Shadows assignment. And I'm also going to get a few words in, really, not a lot of explanation about the next assignment. Let's first take a look at who won the Shadows assignment, though. Okay, so the Shadows assignment was kicked off 8 weeks ago, and as usual, we had 6 weeks of shooting. And, you know, we've just finished the 2 weeks voting. This time, there was a little bit different. Halfway through, actually, no, before we started the voting, I think it was, I changed the website, the mbpgalleries.com website, so that we couldn't see easily the name of the person that had uploaded the photos. From this particular, you know, we didn't change anything in the rules this time. From the next one, we're going to change the rules slightly, which I'll get to later. Actually, if I forget, then it's all in the assignments forum as well. So let's take a look at that. But this time nobody could really easily see who'd shot the photos when we, when we started doing the voting. But anyone that's been in the MBP community for a while will not have needed any explanation or any hints as to, well, the hint was there. Any explanation or any writing to show us who shot the image that took third place, and that is image number M10486. So for those of you that type in, I'm sure there's not very many, but for those of you that do type in the number and jump to it from the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, the M is for member, and then follow that by 10486. And, you know, like I say, anybody will know that this was shot by our good friend and moderator at the MBP photography forum, and that's Forrest Tanaka, with the username HQ's Bud. I'm kind of alluding to this, but many people that do know Forrest know that he works with horses to a degree and takes a lot of horse photos and is very, very good at it. But also, Forrest has come first and been placed in the assignment a number of times. And usually, like many of you, obviously, but usually they're with very high quality shots, and they usually convey a lot of mood. And, you know, they've got that drama. And this is a wonderful example of Forrest's style. It's a horse. For those of you that are listening without being able to see, it's a horse with, obviously, due to the assignment, very, very deep shadows around the, to one side and the top. So you actually can't see the eye of the horse. It's in a deeply shadowed eye socket, and all to the left and the top and behind the horse is totally dark. I don't know how Forrest lit this, and I'm just going to check, but no, he didn't write anything in the notes either, the comments of the image. I'm thinking that it might well be just a burst of off-camera flash, but very, very artistically done. Beautiful mood, the colouring and the tones, the crop, everything. It's just so forest, but so professional and so good. What I like about it, it would have been very tempting to try and get the eyes, a little bit of catchlight in the eye here, but it's not there. And, I don't know if that, I imagine it's because of the shadow, but also there's a big lock of hair from the mane of the horse that's sort of coming down over the eye as well. And I also really like the way we can just see the outline, very faint, of the ears as they sort of grow into the shadow above the horse. It's just an amazing shot. So congratulations to Forrest on third place with this just amazing image. The title of the image, by the way, is A Breath of Light Before Nightfall. So again, just clicking around as I talk here. Let's move on to second place. This is image number M10181. This was shot by the username Aldrin, and I believe this is Hakan Aldrin, and I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name there, Hakan. But again, another very beautiful, very moody shot. Looks almost like it's a classic sort of feel to it. And what Hakan seems to have done here is used possibly natural light coming in at a nice angle. And again, for those of you that aren't looking at the image at the moment, it looks like that it's like a cotton tablecloth with the bottom of a goblet or wine glass, and that it's cropped from maybe halfway or a third of the way up the actual, the part of the glass that you fill with wine. But the shadow that comes from that, there's a very, very nice shadow going off to the top right, starting in the bottom left third. And also, we have a number of shadows that are three main ones with a number of other streaks of shadow. And what this looks like to me is there was probably five or six of these glasses on the table, but not in the frame. And so we've got the shadow of one and possibly the more faint shadow of a number of others. But it's a very grainy shot, a very weathered and an aged type shot, simply titled Glass, but just beautiful toning. It's a very high key, and again, just a wonderful, wonderful image. As usual, you're just the album looks amazing, and the quality of work that you guys are putting in here is just mind blowing. And let's move along. Winner of the Shadows assignment in first place is Super Digital Girl, and that is Leslie Grander Hill. The image number is, let me just check, M10340. So congratulations to Leslie. This is a wonderful classic feel. It's a black and white image called Fuel Tank, and we can see from the comment that it's a rusty old fuel tank on a nice sunny afternoon, which is what, of course, provided the shadows and the texture for this image. And it looks as though I've seen this type of photos a lot of times with the metal staircase that you see on the side of fuel tanks. But Leslie's just sort of done it in a way that it's just, it has a classic feel to it, but the angle of the sun and the way it makes the rungs in the stairs, the steps, they sort of taper off one, over to the left-hand side there. And what makes this special for me is the streaks that form after it rains, and we've got these beautiful streaks of lighter and darker grey, almost white in places, that are sort of providing a background for this wonderful texture and pattern of the stairs. And, to the left, we've got a nice big patch of almost white, again with streaks running through it. And then a very deep part to the, a very deep patch that runs all the way along the left, and then a little bit into the bottom there, and that kind of anchors the shot nicely. There's also, just the, the way the stairs run from just past, almost in the bottom right-hand corner, but they run up at about 45 degrees and then out to the top left. And I just think, the cropping's very nice. It's all in all, just a very well done image. So well done, Leslie. And so that's, that's really it for the shadows assignment. Again, just thanks to everybody that that took part, and congratulations to the three winners. Something that I've done based on feedback from all of you, well, not all of you, but many people in the photography forum, is from this time I'm going to make it so that you can actually see exactly how many scores, how many votes you received for your own image for each assignment. Initially, when we started these assignments well over 2 years ago, we decided as a community that we probably didn't want to see how many votes we got for each one, just because, some people are obviously not going to get any votes, some people are only going to get one or two. But general consensus now is that even if we don't get votes, or even one, just one or two, we want to know. And so what I've done is, I actually had a page. I generate two pages for the votes. One has always, they've both always been there, but one basically creates me a page as the admin, which shows me all of the votes for everybody, so that I can just check and do some calculations, make sure that we've got them all in there. Because, the programming's done, for this is done by myself, and I'm not a professional programmer, although I work in software in my day job. I generally taught myself all of this, so I like to have some checks. And also it enabled me to sort of just to see how things were going, just to check that people were actually voting and stuff while we're going through the 2 week voting process as well. But because that had a graph for each of the image, for each assignment, what I've done is today I've just spent a little while and customized things a little bit, so that now I'm going to provide that same graph to everybody in the standard scores page that we look at to see how we're doing. And that's still there. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Accumulated scores, the accumulated votes graph that we've always had, is still going to be there. So you'll actually still be able to go to the bottom of the page and check to see just how you're doing for the grand prize that I award about every year to the person with the most votes. Normally what happens there is I'll either wait, or I'll go out and search for a sponsor that will give us something cool that you can that you'll like, and then we just we award that to the person that has the most accumulated votes for the year. So what I'm going to do is now, I'm going to quickly go on to the, to just set the stage for the next assignment. And this one's going to be, it's going to be a tough one. Basically because it's very seasonal, and also it means a little bit of travel for a lot of people. The next assignment is going to be on agriculture. Now, what this means basically is, I'm thinking anything related to agriculture. It can be a combine harvester plowing the fields, and this is one of the reasons why I've decided to do this at this time of year. Some of the warmer countries will probably, if like Japan, they're just coming up to the crop. Some of the warmer states or prefectures, as we call them here in Japan, they're doing their cropping right now. But a lot of them, it's still to be done. Depends on how far up north they are, and I'm sure that around most of the northern hemisphere, there's going to be crops to be brought in, or having just been brought in at this time of the year. The other thing, though, is that normally you get some great textures in fields after the crops have been brought in, and also if you're in the southern hemisphere, then I'm sure that, you know, as you move into spring, you're going to have people preparing the fields and stuff. But, you know, so far, all I've mentioned is fields and like farming. But really, you know, I'm thinking of this as being anything related to agriculture. So, you know, we could be talking agricultural machinery, tools, close-ups of things, you know, anything really related to farming and agriculture. Now, if you live in a city and you have absolutely no way of getting near a farm, then, you know, either A, I apologize for the sort of restrictiveness of the assignment, or B, get inventive. And what I mean by that, you know, most places, most countries have a garden centers and things. You could maybe go in there and take a few snaps of some, I don't know, anything to do with growing stuff. And, you know, so basically, you know, just try to get inventive, even if it's something from the train on the way in, if you do a commute that goes through some rural areas. Sounded like I was drunk then, didn't I? Rural areas. You know, I just think that, you know, you should be able to get inventive and come up with something if you really want to. But, you know, if you just can't find it, then, you know, I am sorry for dropping this one on you. But let's see what we can make of it. Now, to be honest, earlier when I said I'll tell you if I don't forget, I haven't forgot to tell you, but I've forgotten the thing that I was going to tell you, whether it was that thing that I just told you, as in the, you know, the fact that we're going to have multiple graphs showing you the individual scores now, or if I think that was it. but I was also had in mind the fact that we've stopped putting the names of the people on there. I mentioned this earlier as well, but I think, hang on, yeah, it's all coming back to me now. So what I wanted to ask is that when you upload, or when you prepare your image to upload for the agriculture assignment and all assignments from now on, please don't include a frame with your name on there. You know, I use a frame with my name and a copyright. If you really want to show a visual copyright, then you know, please restrict it to like the copyright sign and then the year. That's still, I believe, a legal sort of copyright. But I really don't, you know, general consensus is that we don't want to know who shot the image. So don't include your name in the image that you upload from now on. And, you know, obviously once, what I did is the customization to the web gallery that I did was basically it prevents the name from being shown in the under the thumbnail in the gallery and in the information underneath the photo when you're looking at it large, you know, having clicked the thumbnail. But once the assignment, once the voting finishes, then the names come back and we can see. And so, you know, we know who took it after the event. But while we're uploading, while the you know, the uploading process is on, and then during the voting, I've made it harder to see the names easily. So, you know, it will kind of spoil things if we have the name embedded in the image in a copyright or something. So please try not to do that for your assignment image from now on. I'm probably going to be policing this next time, and I'll try to get in touch with you to ask you to change it if you do end up putting your name in the copyright. But because this is like general consensus, and we've had plenty of chance to oppose this change in recent months, so if you upload without it and I can't get a hold of you, then I'm afraid I'm just going to end up having to delete the image and hope that you find out and that you see, and then re-upload one without the your name in the copyright before the close of the assignment. So a few dates. The one note that I did make today, a little bit of paper that I wrote the dates on. So this the agriculture assignment will run from today, which is the 22nd of September 2008, for 6 weeks until November 2nd. And then from November 13th, for another 2 weeks, the voting will start. And by the end of the 16th, pretty much anywhere in the world, because I usually turn the voting off on my Monday. So pretty much anywhere in the world, you'll be able to continue to vote until the end of Sunday, the 16th of November. And then we'll do something like we've done today, where I announce the winners. One final note on, that I do offer a prize to every, to the winner, the first place winner of each assignment, and that is one fine art print of the image of your choice from my online gallery at martinbaileyphotography.com. And basically, I allow you to select any paper, any size of paper, and any image, as long as it's actually available when you click the shopping cart options. There's a little shopping cart above all of the images. And when you click that, you'll see a load of options appear below the photograph. There's a limited number of images in my gallery that actually, for one reason or another, maybe I shot it with a 2-megapixel camera or something like that. There's a few images that I simply can't make decent prints of, or they're just, they're like images of my gear and things like that that I've uploaded, for examples, to talk about during this podcast. Those things I actually turn off the ability to buy them. So, but if you have the options there, once you try to pick your image that you want a print of, then you can basically order it. And I will email the person that wins with the instructions of how to do that straight after the assignment finishes. And I'm going to be sending said mail to Leslie right after this. But I just wanted to quickly again, we're going to wrap up there. Just quickly again say congratulations to the three winners. Thanks to everybody that got involved, and thanks to everybody that voted. And I look forward to seeing what we do with the agriculture assignment. So that's it for this week. Remember, I touched on in the intro that I have now completed the planning for the Hokkaido Workshop and Photography Tour that will be held in February of 2009. We're going to actually head out there almost a month after we went this year. But that's really so that we can try and get the ice, the ice flow, and therefore be able to get out on the boat to see to photograph the Stella sea eagles and the white-tailed eagles. That in January, in the time we went before, we actually have a better chance of getting certain weather conditions, but it means that the ice flows can be either there or totally not. And unfortunately, when we went last year, they weren't. So this year, I'm hoping that we get some good ice flows with lots of sea eagles and the white-tailed eagles. I spoke with the captain of the boat that will go out into the Ohotsku Sea, and I spoke with him today. Everything's looking good there. He assured me that that's definitely a good time of year to be heading out there. And the half of the hotels are already booked. Everything's going pretty well. It's actually easier for me this time in some ways, because I'm going to be limiting the numbers to 12. The participant numbers will be limited to 12. Now, that's more than we got last year, but also last year's trip generated a lot of interest, and we've got, we had a great slideshow of images that we brought back. And that, I think that now we've got a success story under our belt, and with the amount of interest that we have generated, I think that we've got a better chance of filling these positions or these the participant slots. But give me a few more days if you are interested. Give me a few more days to finalise the price. I reminded myself. One of the biggest things is that based on feedback from the participants of last year, I'm extending the tour this time to 9 full days. We're going to try and pull in a lot more landscape work. You know, we concentrated on wildlife last time with some landscape slots, but we're going to head over to central Hokkaido this time, shooting landscapes along the way, but then head out to Bie and the Furano areas. And also we're going to go up, weather agreeable, we're going to go up the ropeway at Mount Asahi as well, into a total winter wonderland. So the trip is going to be split into two phases. One is the first 5 days, which is pretty much the same schedule as last year, and then 4 more days tagged on for real sort of beautiful winter wonderland landscapes. I'm not sure if I'm going to do a podcast on this. This is why I'm going into a little bit of detail here. I probably will in the next week or so do a podcast just to explain in more detail. For now, if you've been waiting for this, and I hope that there are people out there that have, check out the mvpworkshops.com website. The prices will be up within 2 or 3 days max after this, so by the 24th or 25th of September. And you know, just sort of, you know, see what it looks like, and if our schedules meet, if it's good for you, then it'll be great to see you here in Japan from the 16th of February in 2009. For now though, let's sign off, and you just have a great week whatever you're doing. Bye bye.
Photocastnetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. Photocastnetwork.com.